Well, let's look at the New Testament terminology. The key word here is hiothesia, which has been translated adoption in several places. That means literally to be placed as a son. Romans 8, 15 and 23, Romans 9, verse 4, Galatians 4, verse 5, and Ephesians 1, verse 5. Romans 8, 23 teaches us that adoption is a privilege which is attained at the consummation of all things, especially at the resurrection. So do several of the other texts refer to that. Romans 9, 4 tells us that it's already the privilege of Israel under the Old Covenant. So adoption, then, has a fairly broad scope, too. It has, on the one side, an eschatological reference to the future. God's people will be adopted in glory forever. It also looks back to the past and says Israel enjoyed this privilege under the Old Covenant. And then there is, of course, especially in Romans 8, 15 and Galatians 4 and 5, these references to the present privilege and status of the believer. So there's a past, present, future connotation to this term, hiothesia. In addition to this word, the standard words of having been adopted into the family of God comes from the word huos, which simply means son, and also technon, which means a child or son. And the Greek also uses paideon, which means a little child, in Hebrews 2:13 and 14. Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a background conception for adoption. We read in Galatians 4, 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, the obvious reference here is to the Jews, who were redeemed under the law, that they might be receive the adoption of sons. The transition here referred to, then, is the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. That means, then, that there is a sense of real adoption in the Old Covenant as well, but it's newer, it's fuller, it's richer in the New Covenant. Romans 9, 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, etc. Whose are the fathers? So, already in the Old Covenant, there was a sense of adoption. But Paul goes on to say in Galatians 4, 4 through 6, that the difference between Old Covenant adoption and New Covenant adoption is a difference between people being underage and those being mature. We have now so much more given to us in Christ, is what Paul is saying. Individual Israelites were the sons of God, but they were sons in terms of the immature Old Covenant. And now in the light of the New Covenant, this sonship is so much more full. In fact, Paul goes on to say in Galatians 4, in the Old Covenant, the adoption could almost be compared to slavery. The slaves were part of the family too, but they were still slaves. They were still in bondage. The Old Covenant people still had a lot of bondage in their experience because Christ had not yet come. The gospel was not yet clear. And now in the New Covenant, this slavery concept is gone. Now I say, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors till the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And now, Paul then goes on to say in Galatians 4, the Gentiles may enter immediately into mature sonship in Jesus Christ. They don't have to pass through a period of Old Covenant sonship or slavery to become the adopted sons of God.